One, two, three, four.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. I'm your host, Noah Filipiak. Got a pretty exciting news update for you. For those that have been following the podcast for a while or following my blog, you know that I've been trying to get a book published, and I was just signed by an agent last week. That's a pretty big deal in the publishing process and something I'm encouraged by, but really just relieved by, so that now we can move on to next steps. My book is for men. It's about sexual purity and identity in Christ. Really, it's meant to connect with any man, married or single, whether really sexual sin is a huge issue or not. The primary heart of the book comes from who we are in Christ and how that affects all of our lives. And I'm really excited about it. And what I want to point you to before we jump into today's interview is, if you go to my blog, which is at acrossroads.net, at the top on the menu, you will see a little button that says Join Noah's Publishing Team. And I would ask that you would just click that and see different ways you can help. Basically, in today's publishing world, for better or worse, you don't get a book published based on the content, if it's any good or not. You get it published based on what they would call platform. How many people listen to your podcast, for example? How many people click on your blog? Those sorts of things. And so there's a newsletter there you can check out. There's some other things that would be a big help if my writing has been helpful to you or the podcast has been helpful and you'd like to share that with others. Please check that button out on my blog. So with that out of the way, we move on to our interview today. Today I'm going to be interviewing Josiah Price. Josiah is a starting tight end for the number 4 ranked Michigan State Spartans football team. They just came off of a big win this past Saturday against number 7 Oregon. You may have seen it on ABC at the 8 p.m. Eastern Time game. Josiah thus far has 12 touchdowns at Michigan State in his career, and so far this year in 2 games, he has a touchdown in each game, so 2 touchdowns so far this season. He caught the go-ahead touchdown in 2013 in the Big Ten title game against number 2, Ohio State. That was probably the biggest game in recent memory for Michigan State. Pretty cool career highlight thus far for Josiah. He also had a touchdown in the Cotton Bowl last year against Baylor. Ended up being a 1-point game, and Josiah caught a touchdown at the beginning of the fourth quarter that began a 20-point comeback for Michigan State. Michigan State, Josiah's team, they were the Big Ten champs in 2013 as well as the Rose Bowl champs in 2013 when they finished 3rd overall. And last season, they were the Cotton Bowl champs and they finished 5th overall. As always, I encourage you to check out at acrossroads.net, and there you will find bonus material from my interview with Josiah. We'll have his Twitter handle up there and his Facebook page and different ways you can connect with him further online. So with that, let's bring Josiah in here on the phone.
Josiah, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I know you're a busy guy, man. Thanks a lot for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So first, the important stuff first, tell us about the beard and the hair and how long you've been grooming those bad boys.
The hair really just started back last fall. I think it was No Shave November, honestly.
Nice.
I just didn't shave for a month, and then I was like, man, you know what? I should maybe grow out my hair again. So I hadn't cut it since before November last year. And it's kind of just a, you know what? I don't necessarily love long hair, but I'm probably not going to grow my hair again, so might as well do it while I'm young.
You're going to have some great pictures when you're
exactly.
Older, you're not playing football anymore, your kids will make fun of you, it'll be great. So,
exactly.
I heard you're the number 1 Amish football player in the U.S. Is that true as well, I hear, right?
Yeah, via one of my Twitter followers, I think that's a true statement.
Hey, we can quote that. That's good. So,
but
that's funny. Well, hey, I was watching the game Saturday, you know, big game against Oregon. Congratulations on the win. Obviously, a lot of people can congratulate you guys. And, you know, I think I grew up a football fan. I know you grew up a football fan. When people watch a game, a big game like that, whether it's a bowl game or, you know, this is ABC, 8 o'clock, and they see you guys coming out of the tunnel, you're wearing your gladiator gear. And really, I think people look at a college football player and think it's all glory. Like, you know, as a kid, we wanted to be that, and now you are that. And I'm wondering if you can kind of share, as we start the interview, just kind of what it's really like to be a college football player. I mean, certainly there's those moments of glory, but what's it like on a day in, day out, week in, week out basis?
It's a deep question. I mean, for me, I'm like you. I dreamed of this my whole life. And then it's kind of funny, you get here and it's like, man, I'm living my dream. Like, this doesn't really seem like exactly what I dreamed up to be. You think it would just be an amazing experience, which it has been for me. But you think it'd be like carefree, no issues. You know, you're just living the dream, you're a celebrity, all this nonsense that comes with being on TV and being a college football player. But it's definitely a lot more difficult, and there's a lot of things that go in behind the scenes that people don't see, the pressure that people put on us, the coaches. I mean, just how high, especially here at Michigan State, I mean, we have such high expectations now. It's like you have one bad practice and people are freaking out and this and that. But it's just it's a daily grind. It's so much work. I can't even probably count hours within 60 to 70 hours a week in season.
Yeah.
Either watching film, practicing. I mean, my Tuesday through Thursday, I wake up at 8 or sometimes 6 in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I really have no longer than like a 30-minute break throughout the day at different points. And I don't get back to my apartment till 10 at night. So, I mean, it's like 15, 16-hour days at times. A short day feels like a 10 to 12-hour day.
Right.
Season. And you're going from class to class to tutor, from workout to practice. I mean, it's just all day. You get like 30-minute break for lunch real quick, and then maybe another 40-minute break the other day. But besides that, you're pretty much going all day long. So it's a lot of hard work, and it's really demanding. I mean, your body hurts a lot when you play college football. Especially here at Michigan State, we go live a lot. Practice really physical, because that's kind of our MO is toughness and being able to tackle and just play the game at a very high physical level. So your body, I mean, there's not a day in my life where I don't roll out of a seat or bed and my neck or all kinds of different things. So it's definitely taxing. But then, like I said, I mean, it is very exciting too. There's a lot of great perks. The connections I've made are unbelievable here. And the life experiences I've made, I mean, since I've been here, it's been an amazing ride the past two seasons. So there's a lot of pros, but there's definitely a lot more cons that you don't see when you're just typically dreaming about it, or if you're on the outside world looking in. It's just like, man, those guys are spoiled, or those guys just get everything, or those guys are celebrities. They must be living the life. And then you walk a couple weeks in our shoes, and you're like, man, that's a lot they got to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and that's a lot of reality, I think, is what it is, versus sort of fantasy, whether, you know, the fantasy you had maybe going in, this will be like this, or the fantasy people have, you know, when they look at you on TV and those kind of things. Yeah. So the name of this podcast is Behind the Curtain, and it's a kind of a ministry podcast. I'd like to interview ministry leaders. I see what you're doing as ministry leadership in a way, but I think that that's something that's very applicable in a lot of ways, is looking behind the curtain of what it's really like to be you, to be in your shoes. So a couple years ago, you and I were meeting, and you were talking about and I'm going to ask you to talk about it here. What's the pressure when you're a freshman football player? So you show up to campus, what's the pressure that's put on you specifically to sin? So I don't want you to go into any specifics or anything like that, but, you know, when you show up on campus, specifically part of a big-time program, big-time football program in a big-time football town, what kind of pressures are there on an 18-year-old to fall into sin?
Oh, man, there's about every pressure out there. yeah, you just, for me, coming from a small town community that I'm from, Greentown, Indiana, it's a lot different world up here. Mm-hmm. And you get pulled and pushed in every different direction. And so it's a crazy, crazy experience. For me, it's like you get here, you meet kids from all over the country that grew up differently. And they all have different goals in mind or ideas of fun or all these different things. And mm-hmm. and those become the people you surround yourself with every day because you're on the same team with them.
Right.
So, you get pushed in every aspect. For me, it was football-wise, it's trying to, honor God or not sin, as you would say, as far as, like, competing with the right motives and
sure.
Trying to not necessarily just fit in with everyone else and be like everyone else, but maybe try and work out a little different or do different things that can, I guess, keep you away from those pressures of sin, as you were talking about. It's such a violent, like, culture, I guess, where a lot of people don't necessarily notice just, like, the daily struggle of trying to be positive and not, like, negatively influence your teammates. It's very easy to, with how many hours and time we spend, to become, like, I guess, ungrateful of your situation and, like, wish you almost weren't where you're at.
Right.
I think if you take that outlook, it almost becomes to, like, not a state of depression, but where you're almost acting like that or you're speaking on that side.
Right.
And I think that is such a negative outlook and just the pressure of honestly trying to sin and not honor God with your situation. He's blessed us, me, to be in the situation I'm at here. So that's a huge pressure. And then I just think socially, I mean, Michigan State's known as a huge party school. So every night you're pressured with, should I go out and hang out with my teammates and do stuff that doesn't honor God, or should I just hang out here, or should I try and go out and be a witness, even though I'm going to be tempted a lot. So there's all kinds of different pressures out there. I guess those are some of them.
Thanks. So you're in your fourth year at Michigan State now, and you mentioned earlier being a football player, it's like being a celebrity, you know, sort of thing. And I do think, I'll use my words here, I think football players are kind of worshipped in our culture, and so with that sort of worship mindset that people have when they look at you, and then there's all those temptations on top of it, in your fourth year at Michigan State now, and now that you're an upperclassman, these might be two questions, and they might be one, so you can answer them like with one answer or two, I guess, but how have you stayed grounded, and then how have you stayed strong in your faith through this?
I would say it's pretty much the same question for me. And honestly, it's just the people. I'm forced to surround myself with my teammates and stuff. And there's been some awesome leaders and examples of the faith for me in that area. But then there's also been a lot of negative influences too. So you kind of take the good as the bad, and you kind of try and look up to those guys that are leaders in the faith and try and have the same walk you have and almost model what they do type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then also I've done a great job of networking myself with people not involved with the football team that have the same values and lifestyle and just trying to honor God with our lives. So Athletes in Action is a Christian organization on campus I've been involved with since day one. Andrew Maxwell and Chris Norman kind of invited me, and I've loved every second of it since I've been there. And it's given me, my roommates I live with this year, my roommates I live with last year.
Cool.
And then just some of my closest friends in life. So I'm just extremely thankful for that. And I would say that's probably the main reason I've been able to stay grounded. It's just friends up here and then also family. My family's been a huge, huge, solid rock for me to lean on in difficult times or to talk to about, like you said, pressures or temptations, and just really good guidance and love from them too. So I would say a mix between family and friends, and then honestly getting in the Word and listening to Christian music at times, just all kinds of different things that I lean to at different times when you're struggling with a temptation here or you're wanting to do something here or just all kinds of different things like that.
Yeah. I'm going to put the pastor hat on you for just a second here and have you give some advice on, I think about the athlete in action. It's a great sort of example because you're in this football environment like 24/7 and in a lot of ways. And at Michigan State, you know, there's these pressures to sin and there's just pressure in general. And then athletes in action is this group of Christian athletes and you're doing well. I mean, just some people that don't know about it, like Bible studies and, you know, there's relationships that you have with these other Christian friends basically. So what I was wondering, I like to tell Christians, I say, you know, look, you're going to become like the people you put yourselves around. So if you're putting yourselves around people that are growing in their faith and they love Jesus, guess what you're going to be doing, right? Growing in your faith in Jesus. If you put yourself around people, and it's not that you can't have friends that aren't believers and you want to be in those environments, you want to be a witness, but if those are your closest friends, the people that are, you know, whatever, living for the flesh or whatever, you're probably going to do that too. So, with your experience, kind of having AIA, Athletes in Action, as sort of a haven of discipleship within this broader sort of secular world you're in, how does that apply to any Christian, anybody listening to this that's not a football player at Michigan State, but they might just be, I don't know, at work, you know, or they might just be a regular student, but they live in the same world that we live in. I guess what have you learned that they could apply to their lives?
I would just piggyback off of kind of what you said. I mean, the people you're around or you surround yourself with will influence you so much more than you can ever imagine. And I know there's a lot of times, whether it's your work world, there's probably not a ton of Christian people in that community, but you're going to spend a lot of hours with them.
Right.
So I think you have to take it with a grain of salt to understand that concept of the people that surround you are going to influence you. And really, whether it's an 8-hour shift you're spending 5 days a week with them, or whether it's a team you're on that you're spending hours with going through workouts and games, you have to understand that if you don't really guard your heart and look out for, like, I don't want to be like that person, I don't want to be like that person, not necessarily judging them and saying that, like, in your head that they're a bad person, just knowing that that's not the kind of lifestyle you want to live. And then trying to be a light to them, but then you have to also try and find a way to get a community that can influence you in that area.
Yeah.
So if the community you spend a lot of your time with isn't, try and go out and find a local church or try and go out and get involved in a Bible study or a life group or all kinds of different things that church offers, small groups and stuff, and get a little bit of a community that you can call someone up after a long day at work where you're really struggling. Say, hey, like, I'm really struggling with this. Can I get some prayer or this or that? You know, just something along those lines where you do have a community. Now, you might not spend as many hours with them as you do with your work world community or your like your team or whatever, your daily people you spend most of your time with. But it's at least a community that you can draw from whenever you need and that you can help influence too. Because I think that's another huge part of it. You can't always just be taken from people and getting stuff, but it's really huge for you to be able to give back and to be
absolutely
a two-way street where you're sharpening them and they're sharpening you type of thing. And it's not just you like looking up to someone and pulling from them all the time. So I guess that's a little bit of advice I would give.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good. Well, when you were a redshirt freshman, you and I met. Your hair was a lot shorter. You didn't have any facial hair yet. Your biceps were probably a little bit smaller, probably 2 or 4 years ago. But you were on campus, and we were just kind of talking about discipleship, about Jesus, and I told you, you know, don't put your identity in football. And we talked through, you know, you mentioned this earlier in the interview already, you know, if you drop a ball, people are going to really scorn you. It's like they hate you. I mean, literally, like, there's just like this like oblong sphere made of pigskin. And if you drop it, people will hate you. But if you catch it and you catch it at the right moment, they will love you. But obviously that, and you've experienced that. You've had some big catches, you know, that I talked about when I introduced you. You've experienced that, and obviously that's not really love, you know, because yeah. They love you because you caught this ball, but they'll hate you if you would have dropped it. Talk about fast forward four years from when we talked 3.5 years ago to today. You know, when we talked back then, you were fourth or fifth string. You were going to be redshirting that year. Now you're a starter. Your picture's always in the paper. People are talking about you. So what I want to ask you about is your identity in Christ. And I think it just really applies to everybody. I know for me as a pastor, this has really been something I've had like a lot of struggles with, but then God has really strengthened me in. And I really think football is sort of like this really helpful analogy or metaphor, microcosm for every Christian, because all of our identity should be in Christ. And so what I'm wondering is how through this, if there's anything specific, maybe some struggles you can share, or maybe some highlights you can share of how you've learned your identity in Christ through this, maybe in your own life or things you learned from some of your mentors. You talked about Chris Norman or Andrew Maxwell, some of those guys. Tell us about your identity in Christ as it has been shaped, and maybe it's been masked by football. Maybe it's been shown through football. In what ways have you had some ups and downs, specifically in that area?
For sure. I agree with everything you're saying. But for me, thankfully, I can credit my parents for teaching me at a young age to put your identity in Christ. So coming into college, I mean, I knew my senior year was a huge year of growth for me. I met with my youth pastor back home, Mike Buck, all the time. And literally that was our goal for that year of once I committed to Michigan State was, you know, this is going to be a crazy experience up there. You're going to maybe be hated by a lot of people. You're maybe never going to play. You're maybe going to be a sub. You may be going to get a lot of playing time and make a lot of plays. You're maybe going to, you know, there's so many different things. But then we also focused on just life off of the field. How am I going to handle the pressures of being able to go drink whenever you want to, or being able to do whatever you want to with whatever, with guys, with friends, whatever. I mean, you can literally be whoever you want to be out here because you're on your own and you can do whatever you want. So for me, that was huge. Is I built up my identity in Christ and I knew who I was coming in. And I've always known from that, you know, football is just what I do here on campus and in high school. And it's just something, it's not what defines me. I think if you keep that outlook, that's what's really kept me grounded for the most part through college. But then along the way, I mean, there's definitely a lot of ups and downs. There's times where you make a couple of plays and you're thinking like, man, you know, I'm great. I'm going to be in the NFL. I'm going to be all Big Ten, all this nonsense.
Right.
And then there's a day you're walking off the field where you're like, man, why am I playing? Like, I shouldn't be on scholarship. Like, I'm terrible.
Right.
It's tough. And thankfully, I mean, like I keep mentioning, I think community is everything. And guys like Chris Norman and Andrew Maxwell, just literally as a freshman, they showed me how to keep your identity in Christ by just being able to watch them and see them do it. And both of them were captains my freshman year. So it was super cool to have two awesome Christian guys as captains when I was here. So that was, or their junior, I guess my first year was Andrew's junior year and Chris's senior year. But that was just an amazing year for me to be able to grow from them. But that was also a tough year. I mean, that year was a year of a lot of pain for me and being redshirted and just not really knowing what to do. And I struggled a lot with my identity. I didn't really play any football besides scout team stuff, so it was hard. Those things were hard. It definitely tested that. Is my identity really in Christ? Am I so upset just because I'm not having a success in football?
Right.
But through that, I was able to grow a lot. And then a camp through Athletes in Action, which I mentioned earlier, that organization, I've gone to this camp out in Colorado. It's called Ultimate Training Camp. It's in Fort Collins. And it's a week-long thing. And the whole idea of it is to teach you how to honor God in your sport, whether it's through actual competing in your sport while you're on the playing field or whether it's off or just all different things and how to relate all those situations that you as a specific college athlete how you can relate pretty much everything in your life to God and walk with him through these things, as opposed to just like saying, oh, I play for God. It's like, why don't I play with God and for God, you know? And so it's just an amazing, it's kind of hard to explain, because you have to like go through the actual camp, because it's a crazy, unique camp. They put you through some crazy stuff, but they're teaching you all these principles along the way, and you grow a ton in your faith. And for me, that is something that was so huge, because in my freshman year, I really struggled a lot with that identity thing. Is then football, is then God? Like, what is, you know? And then coming out of that, I learned from that camp, you know, truly how to keep my identity in Christ through competing at such a high level and all these different things, and not to let, like you said, a big catch where people blow you up and say you're amazing and want you to sign pictures and this and that, or the opposite, where if I would drop something like that, they'd hate me. Being able to handle that type of pressure. But before, I had that identity, but it was in high school and nothing was to that magnitude. When you take it to the next magnitude, it's that much harder. You're like, okay, yeah, I can say that, but why am I so depressed here when I'm just not having success in football or this or that? So that was really huge for me, that ultimate training camp. And then I've honestly went back the past 3 years trying to pour into other people. And then I grow every year. I go out there and learn something new, whether it's my personal life, or my personal spiritual life with prayer and scripture reading or different stuff, or whether it's just trying to like meet with other people and disciple other guys on the team and different things like that. So that camp has been a huge, huge impact in my life. And I would say it's one of the huge things that helped me be able to keep my identity in Christ through these last 4 years, which have been amazing and crazy all at the same time. But yeah, I would say that would be a huge thing you could look at.
Yeah, and I think often our identity in Christ, we don't learn those lessons, the ones that stick, until we're tested, you know, until we feel that, like, we don't learn it until we're like, wait a second, if my identity, like you said, so I appreciate that honesty, and that's really where, I know for me, that's where I learned it. I didn't learn it when the church is doing well. I learned it when the church is, like, about to fold, and I'm like, oh, wait, yeah. Well, I got one last question for you, and, you know, I want to share that you played a key role in ruining me as a football fan, so thanks a lot for that. I definitely grew up just kind of worshiping football players. I mean, I just love football, and then, you know, you started coming to my church, bringing some of your teammates to my church, and as you know, I can go on the record here and say I am/was Michigan fan, right? When we met, and I was brave enough to tell you that. And it was funny because I started realizing I can't cheer against guys that I'm like discipling, like you and some of your teammates in a church, right? And at that same time, I think it was just like the summer before, I had just played in a semi-pro football team, which is like Bush League football, for those that aren't familiar with it. But there were some former MSU players on the team and such. And it was sort of my taste to see that you guys are just regular guys and that this is right. And I reflect on that as a fan, and I realize I think we have sort of objectified you guys as football players. That year was a year that a Christian football player at MSU, talking with him about he's deleting his Twitter account because people hate him because he got benched or he wasn't playing good, you know, those sorts of things. So I wonder, setting the background for all that, I want you to know you've ruined me as a fan. So I see the game very differently now. And, you know, I honestly cheer for you more than I do Michigan. So
that's good to hear.
I think you'll be glad to hear that. And so, with that, in closing, I'm wondering if you can just kind of give fans advice, Christian fans particularly, on like how to watch football and not sin. Because I think what was happening to a friend of ours was sinful to him, you know, when people are sending him things on Twitter that they hate him and they want to kill him or whatever was going on just because something happened on the field. I think I've been guilty of that. You know, throwing stuff at the TV, swearing at the TV when it's just like a bunch of college kids running around. So what advice would you give Christian fans, I guess, on how to be a fan? But then really what I want to ask you is how we can pray for you And that's how I want to end the interview. It's just you tell us how we could pray for you, and I want to kind of share that with the listeners.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I guess as far as the first question you asked there, just how to be a Christian fan. I mean, just watch the game for enjoyment of the game. Don't get so, I mean, cheer for your team, but it's not life or death. It's just a game, and generally the fans, I mean, they don't have any true, I guess, connection. It's not like they're on the team. They're just a fan of the team. So
right.
Don't put more pressure on us than we put on ourselves, I guess. And just try and enjoy it for, you know, cheer for your team, cheer for your guys. And if they do good, be happy for them. Congratulate them. If they do bad, say, you know, we love you still. Keep up the hard work. We put in so much work. And, I mean, I used to be that fan, too, before I played college football and be so critical. Like, man, how could you do that? Man, you just suck this, that. But it's like, man, there's so many hours put in behind it. And we're giving our best. So just be appreciative of that and understanding that.
All right, yeah.
So, yeah, you could just act like – I always like to put myself in other people's shoes. So I would tell other fans or just to kind of put yourself in our shoes. So act like it was like you at your job with whatever you do for your career and try and treat us like that, like – everyone's going to make a mistake. So whether it's at your job or whether it's me playing football or whether it's anyone doing whatever you do for a career, if you're in your work field and you make a mistake, you're not going to want people to be cussing you out or freaking out or acting like it's the end of the world. Like, we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have good days. We all have bad days. So whether it's you're watching a game and your team's doing great and you're cheering them on and everything's great, or whether it's they're doing bad, I feel like if you can just keep that analogy, that's the way you're going to best honor God.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, just you asked about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just, for me personally, if you could just pray for health and then just a successful season as far as season-wise football goes, but then also just being able to be a witness to my teammates day in and day out, and just that God would open up doors and hearts on the team, and then just all across our campus. I think Michigan State's such an amazing campus, and I know I have a big impact on the guys I'm around every day, but I know me and other fellow Christian athletes have a huge impact on campus and regular students, too. So just that I would be able to maximize my platform for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I will definitely be praying for you, Josiah, and for your team and for the campus, and invite anyone listening to this to do the same. So, man, thank you so much. And as you said, you are super busy, and for taking the time out. Thanks, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem. It's my pleasure. It's always great talking to you.
You can tune in this Saturday, September 19th at 12 noon Eastern time, to watch Michigan State play Air Force on ABC. Check out Josiah and all his guys as you're praying for them. I hope you enjoyed that interview, whether you're a football fan or not. I think there's a ton to take away from that. Especially interesting about the part about living. Josiah says, I'm living my dream, you know, but it doesn't feel like it. It's like, man, you know, there's all this, it's a grind, it's grueling. Those sorts of things. And I think that's important to remember. Whatever your dream is, often we look at someone, and in a lot of ways, Josiah is a celebrity. Certainly, there's subcultures to those celebrity things, but we see celebrities. I often think of Hollywood movie stars and such, and I think we turn them into something non-human, and we say, man, if only I had that. And then if you ever had that, you know, Josiah is living that, and it's like, you know, this isn't the be-all, end-all. It kind of reminds me of the book of Ecclesiastes. So I guess I'd leave you with asking you as a listener, what is your if only? You know, if only I had that celebrity status, if only I was famous, if only I was rich. I think it applies to our relationships. I write about this a lot in my book, Worth the Fight, that I'm working on getting published, that I mentioned earlier in the podcast. If you're single, you might be saying, if only I was married, if only I was married to that girl or to that guy. And if you're married, you might be saying, if only I was single, if only I wasn't married to who I'm married to, if only, and then you get to that next place, you think the grass is greener on the other side, and as it turns out, it was just a trick of Satan. I think Satan is really good at getting us to never be grateful for what we've been given, and to always want what we don't have. I think of the I think it was Rockefeller quote, how much money is enough? And he says, just a little bit more. And so wherever you're at, I would encourage you to just be grateful. A holy God loves you and has shown you mercy, and you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, and we have so much to be grateful for. And so, man, what a great interview with Josiah, great guy. And whether you like football or not, I think there's a ton we can pull out of that. So make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that you want to become like, people that follow Jesus. Make sure you're plugged into a local church. And if you're in a local church, don't just be a pew warmer. You know, make sure you get involved. Make sure you get into a small group, serve, build relationships. If it's not going so well, don't give up. Stay committed to it. That is so important for our walks as Christians. So with that, I will wrap up this episode of the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. Check out atacrossroads.net. You'll find a post with links linking you to Josiah as well as Athletes in Action. And also encourage you to click the button at the top menu on how you can help me by joining my publishing team. I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you for listening. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes, and what that'll do is download the next episode automatically for you. Hopefully, we'll have a new episode within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Until then, I will see you behind the curtain and at a crossroads.